The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. COVID cover-up.
Millions of people are dead as a result of this cover-up.
That is our top story at noon. Calls growing louder for an independent investigation into the origins of COVID-19 after three researchers at the Wuhan lab were hospitalized with COVID like symptoms several weeks before the first reported case. That was back on December 8th, 2019.
I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened.
Pandemic point man Dr. Anthony Fauci says he's not convinced the virus developed naturally. Some are convinced it leaked from that lab in Wuhan, China. Jamie Metzl, an advisor for the WHO.
It's got to end, and I think our government and governments around the world will have an opportunity at the World Health Assembly to demand a very, very significant change.
That World Health Assembly meets today in Geneva, Switzerland. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We need to know what happened here. The Chinese Communist Party knows what happened here. They know who patient zero was. They know precisely where this began. These three individuals who became sick, the symptoms were consistent with what someone would get, that would be symptomatic of if they had COVID-19, the Wuhan virus. We need to get to the bottom of this because this could happen again. They're still conducting research in these same laboratories today.
Pompeo says the WHO has become nothing more than a puppet of China, and it's way past time to put together an independent team to investigate the true origins of COVID-19. Now to the southern border. Despite a record number of illegal crossings last month, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas hit the Sunday talk shows yesterday and said this.
The border is closed. The border is secure.
If you believe the border is closed, you believe in the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and the Jimmy Hoffa died of natural causes.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says this administration has its head in the sand when it comes to the truth about what's going on at the U.S. southern border. Neither the president or the vice president have yet to visit the border since taking office. Changing course on infrastructure. The Biden administration lowering the price tag on that massive infrastructure bill by about $500 billion, but at $1.7 billion, it's still too high for the GOP. White House advisor Cedric Richmond.
He wants a deal. He wants it soon. But as negotiations taking place in a bipartisan manner, he's willing to let that play out. The president has been very clear, inaction is not an option.
But Republicans want a bill targeted towards traditional infrastructure like roads, bridges, and airports. Maine Senator Susan Collins.
I think negotiations should continue, but it's important to note that there's some fundamental difference here. And at the heart of the negotiations is defining the scope of the bill. What is infrastructure?
Democrats say the clock is ticking on efforts to reach a compromise, and if the two sides can't come together on a deal, they'll deliver their own. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
We would like bipartisanship, but I don't think we have a seriousness on the part of the Republican leadership to address the major crises facing this country. And if they're not coming forward, we've got to go forward alone.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she wants an infrastructure bill done by the 4th of July. America's top diplomat says a lasting peace in the Middle East will take time and effort.
If there isn't positive change, this cycle is likely to repeat itself.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the responsibility for keeping the peace lies with Israel. Blinken heads for the Holy Land today. Israeli spokesman Mark Regev says Hamas is to blame for the recent violence.
They were aiming their rockets at our people trying to kill them. And of course, they were brutally abusing Gaza civilians as a human shield for their war machine.
Former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe says President Biden's cozy relationship with Iran has emboldened Hamas.
Watching Joe Biden take credit for a ceasefire was like watching an arsonist show up to try and take credit for putting out a fire that he helped start.
In the aftermath of the fragile ceasefire, there's been a disturbing uptick in anti-Semitic attacks by pro-Palestinian mobs in cities like New York and L.A. Nearly 5 months after being deployed to the U.S. Capitol, the final National Guard troops left last night. Since the January 6th riots, more than 120,000 Guard troops have been deployed to protect the nation's capital. Their departure comes as lawmakers debate whether to form an independent commission to investigate those violent demonstrations. Well, tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. His murder at the hands of a Minneapolis cop sparked cries for police reforms and a summer of violent protests. Civil rights activist Al Sharpton.
George Floyd should not go down in history as just someone with a knee on his neck. George Floyd should go down as history that broke the neck of police racism.
Tomorrow, George Floyd's family will meet with President Biden at the White House to push for passage of the Justice in Policing Act. History made at the PGA.
Biggest moment of a legendary career. Phil defeats Father Time.
Jim Nantz with a call on CBS golfing great Phil Mickelson became the oldest player to ever win a PGA major at 50 years of age. Lefty, as he's known, was left speechless after his big win.
This is just an incredible feeling because I just believed that it was possible, but yet everything was saying it wasn't.
It was Phil Mickelson's sixth major title of his Hall of Fame career. Still to come this Monday, limiting police powers in New York, physician-assisted suicide in Pennsylvania, and lipstick sales on the rise.
Oh, good afternoon to all. Cooler air mass has worked its way into the region, but warmer air returns tomorrow. Forecast details are coming up in about 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Monday, May 24th, New York State Attorney General Letitia James pushing to limit the use of force by police departments all across the state.
This is yet another example of the scorched earth warfare against law enforcement and the rule of law.
Former New York police detective Pat Bronson.
What will happen now is officers will be further paralyzed, more reactive than proactive. They'll be hesitant and they'll be fearful of reprisal.
Bronson says the Attorney General of New York is handcuffing the police from keeping communities safe. The AG claims her bill will hold cops more accountable. New poll numbers are in on New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Family Life's Paul Price.
Yeah, Bill, by a 49-41% margin, New York voters say Governor Cuomo should not resign. The latest Siena poll finds Cuomo would beat any Republican challenger by 10 points if the election were held today. This despite the slew of scandals engulfing him. But the news is not all good for the governor. His job performance rating is down from last month, and just 37% of New Yorkers would vote to reelect Cuomo if he does decide to run for a fourth term. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Southern Tier State Senator George Borrello is pushing for an end to those federal unemployment benefits.
Any business owner can tell you how difficult it has been right now to hire employees.
Borrello says the federal government is fueling the hiring crisis across the country today.
The numbers, if you look at it, New York State's unemployment rate is among the worst in the nation right now. Yet, I don't know a single employer that isn't looking for employees. So it's the government interference, particularly this extra $300 federal kicker for unemployment that has created this crisis that we have in our workforce.
The average unemployed New Yorker collects $654 per week, and George Borrello says that's keeping a lot of workers out of the workforce. Last week, 22 states across the country started blocking those $300 a week federal payments in hopes of filling what's become a record number of job openings. The no mask, no service policy still in effect in a lot of stores across New York, even for the fully vaccinated. Businesses still have the right to refuse entry if you are not masked up. And many are doing just that.
We don't want to have to police vaccination cards. So we would rather err on the side of caution as people continue to be vaccinated.
Experts are still unsure whether it's legal for businesses to require proof of vaccination. New York lifted the mask mandate for the fully vaccinated last week. The Pennsylvania Health Department has dropped its lawsuit against nearly 50 restaurants that kept their dining rooms open during the ban back in December. That order came amid a massive spike in COVID cases during the holiday season. Pennsylvania politicians have introduced a measure that allows the terminally ill to kill themselves. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Under the proposal, patients must be of sound mind, have a terminal diagnosis, and wait at least 48 hours before an end-of-life drug is prescribed. They could rescind the decision at any time. The measure would require physicians to inform patients of alternatives to death, like hospice care and pain control. Patients would be encouraged, but not required, to notify next of kin of their end-of-life decision. So-called death with dignity laws have been enacted in 9 states and the District of Columbia. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Pro-family forces fear physician-assisted suicide could lead to elder abuse and an increase in the overall suicide rate. Well, just as the summer pool season begins, officials say there's a shortage of chlorine tablets.
So far, everything's being rationed out. The prices, what I sold them for last year, I'm paying more for this year.
Dan Walter is a pool contractor out of York County, PA. He says prices on chlorine tablets have gone through the roof, with more and more families opting for their own pools because of the pandemic.
You can open your pool with liquid chlorine. That's what we use for opening pools. And then you can also use it for maintaining, but there's also granular chlorine like calcium hypochlorite.
The experts say you should be able to get the materials you need to clean your pool. Just be ready to pay more to do that this summer. Welcome back, church. Sunday church services a whole lot more crowded yesterday across New York.
You can do whatever meetings you want on Zoom, and it's one thing, but in person increases the feeling of community.
For the first time since the pandemic began, houses of worship were allowed to fill the pews.
I'm just looking forward to seeing the fellowship. I'm looking forward to shaking some hands, hugging some necks. I'm looking forward to hearing some stories. I'm looking forward to hearing how individuals sustain themselves during this period of COVID.
Face masks and social distancing now only required for the unvaccinated at churches across the Empire State. Well, as face masks come down, lipstick sales are going up. In fact, they're up 80% from last year at this time.
We are seeing a whole resurgence of, it's like Christmas morning and you take the mask off and all of a sudden you can paint your lips again. And it's very exciting.
Show off that pretty face. That's A.J. Frater Carangelo is the owner of A.J.'s Hair and Makeup Salon in Corning, New York. This guy always looks good. It's sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with lefty.
Phil Mickelson creates and sets professional golf history, the oldest to win a major championship. Phil Mickelson is the champion of the 103rd PGA Championship. What a bout it was today.
Phil Mickelson taking home the PGA Championship, becoming the oldest golfer to win a major on the PGA Tour at 50 years old. He turns 51 next month. Is this an early birthday gift?
I'm going to cherish this tournament as though it's my last, because it very well may be, but hopefully not.
It's Mickelson's 6th career major. Congratulations, Louis Oosthuizen, and Brooks Koepka finished 2 shots back at 4 under. To the NBA, Madison Square Garden, Knicks, Hawks tied at 105, and
Young on the floater puts it in! Trae Young
with that game winner. Devin Booker scored 34 points. The Suns beat the Lakers 99-90. Grizzlies upset the top seed Jazz 112-109. 76ers beat the Wizards 125-118 in Philadelphia. To the ice in the Colorado Avalanche, are the first team to move on in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They blasted the Blues 5-2 in St. Louis to complete that 4-game sweep. How about the Boston Bruins? They swept the Washington Capitals with a 3-1 win. They move on to the next round. Luke Kunin scored late in the second overtime to lift the Predators to a 4-3 win over Nashville. That series tied at 2 apiece. The Jets top the Oilers 5-4 in overtime. Tonight, Penguins and Islanders in Pittsburgh. That series tied at 2. Bases loaded for the New York Yankees. Tied up at 4-4. Bottom of the ninth inning, Aaron Judge up to bat.
He walked him. The Yankees win.
5-4 the win. Elsewhere, the Mets fall to Miami. Pirates crushed by Atlanta. Blue Jays fall to Tampa Bay. Cleveland falls in 10 innings to Minnesota. Washington completes a 3-game sweep of Baltimore with a 6-5 win. And Zach Wheeler throws 12 strikeouts in the Phillies' 6-2 win over Boston. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Monday, investigating the origins of COVID, keeping the peace in the Middle East, and the grossest states in the U.S. of A.
Our worldview is the lens through which we view everything, including society and history. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. One of the things that the Christian worldview offers is dignity to women that you do not find from other worldviews throughout human history. My friend Rebecca McLaughlin talked about this at our Wilberforce Weekend Conference, and she shared similar thoughts in a special Strong Women podcast episode that was recorded at the Wilberforce Weekend Conference. Take a listen.
Sometimes I think we celebrate and uphold sort of marriage and motherhood at the expense of all the other things that God calls us to do. Mm-hmm. I think I said this morning that we'll sometimes say, you know, women's highest calling is to be a wife and a mother. I'm like, no. A woman's highest calling is to follow Jesus. And some women are called to do that as wives. Some women are called to do that as wives and mothers. There are some women who aren't able to have children for whatever reason. And there are some women who are called to do that as single people. Mm-hmm. And that the Bible actually gives us an elevated view of both those things. And what we've tended sometimes to do is sort of downplay or denigrate singleness because we want to elevate marriage. Mm-hmm. But the contrast, the sort of negative contrast to marriage isn't singleness. It's like having multiple sexual partners, like non-monogamous sexual mm-hmm. relationships. And so that's an important piece of the puzzle here, is that actually those of us who are called to follow Jesus as single women, and honestly, I've always been slightly surprised I got married, to be honest. Like, there's a piece of me, I sound like single on the inside. You know, I love my husband. That's not a negative comment on him. It's just that the Lord could have pulled me in another direction. And I think the relational aspect is something that's true and important, as you said, both for men and for women. And it's part of how we image God, and it's part of how we roll out his kingdom mm-hmm. in this earth. It is relating to each other in ways that flow out of the kind of love that Jesus has for us. Mm-hmm. Relationships that recognize the other person as a being made in God's image and someone for whom Jesus died. Mm-hmm. And having that shape how we relate to other people is so important. Mm-hmm. And then the creative piece, again, of course, it applies in terms of creating new human beings, which men and women do together. And it also applies in terms of all the other spheres in which we can use our skills and gifts and experience and hard work. And we'll all be called to different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, I don't know if you know those crabs that have like one big claw and then like this teeny weeny little claw that sort of looks absurd. There are certain things I'm incredibly bad at. And it's like I have this little claw that I'm like ridiculously bad at a whole lot of things. And there are other things that I'm kind of quite good at. And I think for all of us, we'll have like a big claw and a little claw. And sometimes God actually calls us to use our little claw. It's not that we can just say, well, I'm not very good. You know, I'm not very good at telling people about Jesus. So like, don't sign me up for that job. Like, sorry, that's something that we're all called to do. Or I'm terrible. Let me tell you, I'm so bad at tidying. It's like almost a disability for me. I can't even do it. But I think there are beautiful ways in which God actually gifts each of us to do different things.
That was my friend Rebecca McLaughlin talking about how the idea of the image of God elevates women and has throughout history. To hear Rebecca on the Strong Women podcast, download the episode in your favorite podcast app. Rebecca's full talk at the Wilberforce Weekend will be available as part of our online Wilberforce Weekend offering. Not only will we share all the session videos from the Wilberforce Weekend, but we'll also add in some special online-only sessions. It's available for only $49 on our online platform. It'd be available in June. To sign up for this online event, come to wilberforceweekend.org/online. That's www.wilberforceweekend.org/online. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find a cold front having crossed the area from north to south. And that's why the air mass in place today is noticeably cooler than it's been of late. But that front will work back north as a warm front, and air temperatures will respond by rising again tomorrow and Wednesday. For this afternoon, plenty of sunshine in central New York. Sunshine through some high and mid clouds elsewhere, except a fair amount of cloudiness in western and central Pennsylvania, where there could be a shower or a thundershower. High temperatures today generally upper 60s to the mid 70s. Some clouds around tonight, low temperatures 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, variably cloudy and turning warmer with an afternoon thundershower chance. High temperatures mid 70s to mid 80s. And a rather cloudy Wednesday, a couple of showers and thundershowers. It'll be warm, High temperatures Wednesday, mid-70s to the middle 80s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Monday, May 24th, investigating the origins of COVID. Calls growing louder for an independent investigation after three researchers at the Wuhan lab were hospitalized with COVID-like symptoms several weeks before the first reported case on December 8th, 2019. Dr. Marty McCary at Johns Hopkins University says this virus did not come from an animal. It escaped from that lab.
I think that enough circumstantial evidence is there now that there's a conclusion that can be made. I've certainly made a conclusion knowing how common lab accidents are. I think it's no longer a lab hypothesis. I think that's exactly what happened.
Pandemic point man Dr. Anthony Fauci says he's not convinced the virus developed naturally either. Miranda Devine at the New York Post says she's not convinced we can trust a word Dr. Fauci says.
He's been so conflicted. He's told so many lies. He's gone backwards and forwards on his recommendations. I'm not sure why he's still in that lofty position. I don't know why anyone listens to anything he says.
Devine says Dr. Fauci's political agenda has infiltrated his public health decisions and the country has paid a very steep price for that. For the first time since last June, the seven-day U.S. average for COVID cases dropped below 30,000 a day, and nearly 50% of Americans have received at least one COVID-19 shot. The CDC investigating reports that some teenagers and young adults who got the COVID vaccine developed heart problems.
The complication of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, is seen with COVID-19 infection as well as many other viral infections. It is critical to note that it is a lot more common with viral infections such as COVID-19 than it is with the vaccine.
Dr. David Agus at USC says the issue was found predominantly in males. Israel also examining similar reports in young folks who got the Pfizer vaccine. Well, speaking of Israel, with a fragile ceasefire still holding in the Middle East, the Biden administration says it remains committed to a two-state solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict.
There's a new poll out in the last few days from YouGov that shows that when they ask Democrats which side of this conflict they sympathize more with, more Democrats say Palestinians than Israelis.
Guy Benson at townhall.com says the Squad and others on the far left are helping to reshape U.S. Mideast policy.
That is an extraordinary sea change that we're seeing in the Democratic Party. They have cast in their lot with the Palestinians, and I think in some cases amplify what amount to Hamas talking points. I think it's frightening to see.
Meantime, anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish Americans are on the rise in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. National Guard troops sent in to protect the U.S. Capitol after the January 6th attack are leaving.
Security will now fall on Capitol Police, so the grounds out here won't be reopening to the public, but lawmakers are now attempting to work together to pass a $1.9 billion security measure.
Melissa Howell reporting. A new Siena College poll shows a majority of New Yorkers don't think New York's embattled governor should resign. 49% of respondents say Andrew Cuomo should stay in office. 41% think he should go. Governor Cuomo under several investigations, ranging from COVID-19 nursing home deaths, a controversial book deal during the pandemic, priority COVID testing for his family and friends, and sexual misconduct claims. Outrage at a high school in Northeast Florida after 80 students had their yearbook photos digitally altered without their consent. In most cases, ninth grader Riley O'Keefe says clothes were added to pictures of girls who had low necklines or exposed shoulders.
They looked at our bodies and thought that just a little bit of skin showing was sexual, but then they looked at the boys for the swim team photos and other sports photos and thought that that was fine.
But this parent says she's A-OK with what was done.
Parents aren't teaching at home how daughters should dress and dress decently, then the school has to parent.
The school district says the teacher who oversaw the yearbook decided some students didn't meet the dress code, and if they want, they can turn their yearbook in and get a full refund. Some families in the South are suing the chip maker Frito-Lay. The company is accused of using cancer-causing pesticides at its Jackson, Mississippi plant that was shut down back in 1999. This woman used to work there.
The chemicals were so strong. When we come in, we could
couldn't do nothing but throw up.
Relatives of several people who worked at the plant and later died of various kinds of cancer have now filed a suit over what they see is wrongful deaths. 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that impact our public schooling families with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in beautiful Houghton, New York. Ralph, hope you had a great weekend, sir. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be with you again today.
Well, the dust has settled somewhat from last week's big school budget vote in New York. Been almost a week now, Ralph. Voters deciding their local school spending plans as well as the makeup of their school boards. Overall, what was your impression of that vote?
Well, the passage rate was 99.2%, which is huge.
Yeah.
There were obviously most districts, I think, actually only like six in the whole state budget went down. Unfortunately, though, the turnout was very low. One district reported it was 30% of the vote that they got last year. On the other hand, for some districts like Cuba Rushford, which is right near us here in Houghton, they had a 90% yes vote on a budget that they had to get at least a 60% because they were over the tax cap. So it does show there's continuing interest in supporting public education, and that's a really good thing.
One of the things you're really concerned with, and one of the main reasons we do this program, is to get more Christians involved in serving on their school boards. You told me last week, I thought this was fascinating, there were over 1,500 school board openings in New York. Why so many?
Well, that's the case, yes. It was very heartening on our part to see that. What happened was normally there's like in 50% of the districts, if there are two openings, there are two candidates. This year, that was not the case at all. There were hundreds of candidates running. And I think part of that is because some of the board members just simply are tired, particularly after this last year with all the controversy and the strain involved in the COVID. And then in other situations, as we've seen across, particularly in New York State, people are just moving away. They're tired of the taxation here in New York, and so they're moving away, and that also impacts people that are currently serving on boards of education.
Yeah, we need great people to step up and serve, that's for sure. This is something we've talked about before, too. It's almost becoming an epidemic. I'm not going to say pandemic. It's an epidemic. The bus driver shortage causing so many problems. How so, Ralph?
Well, it really is a problem. In a recent survey, four out of five districts that were recorded in the survey said that shortage of bus drivers is a real problem. And the director of transportation for the state of Pennsylvania, I think, really summed it up. One is that he recognized that bus drivers tend to be older people. Some of them have pre-existing medical conditions, and as a result of that, they're concerned about the impact of COVID on themselves. Others, because of COVID and being either laid off or unemployed or furloughed, they found other places to work, and so they're not inclined to come back to help with this bus driver shortage. I do like to offer some solutions, though, along with the problem, and some districts are beginning to look at this. One thing is that districts are looking at offering paid training for driver candidates. In the past, you had to pay for your own training, and other districts finally are making bus driving a full-time job, and those are great solutions.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the summer brain drain. This is the time of year when we start to pay attention to that, but you know, it's a double whammy, of course. Typically, I heard up to 30% lost over the summer months. You combine that with the COVID learning slide. How is this going to make the job of teachers that much more difficult come September?
Well, it's just adding to what already is a difficult job. And that's because, as you said, there's going to be tremendous learning loss as a result of summer and COVID. And we talked recently, I think, about the fact that that's why we need some of the testing that parents are really opposed to at this point. But if that doesn't happen, then certainly in the fall, teachers are going to be doing a lot more testing to just sort of get a handle on where the children are. And I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of re-teaching to make up for the learning loss that has occurred over the last year or more.
All right. Boy, sounds better than a politician, doesn't he? Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. So many issues this week, Ralph. If folks want to learn more about your organization, where can they find you?
Thank you, Bob. They can simply go to yrun.org. YRUN.org.
Thank you, guys. It's called Issues in Education Comes Your Way Mondays during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find a cold front having crossed the area from north to south. And that's why the air mass in place today is noticeably cooler than it's been of late. But that front will work back north as a warm front, and our temperatures will respond by rising again tomorrow and Wednesday. For this afternoon, plenty of sunshine in central New York. Sunshine through some high and mid clouds elsewhere, except a fair amount of cloudiness in western and central Pennsylvania, where there could be a shower or a thundershower. High temperatures today, generally upper 60s to the mid 70s. Some clouds around tonight, low temperatures 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, variably cloudy and turning warmer with an afternoon thundershower chance. High temperatures mid 70s to mid 80s. And a rather cloudy Wednesday, a couple of showers and thundershowers. It'll be warm. High temperatures Wednesday, mid 70s to the middle 80s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, New York and Pennsylvania have the dubious distinction of being listed in the top 10 of a rather unflattering list. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, the Empire State is listed as 10th, while the Keystone State comes in at number 4 on the list of grossest states in the country. The list, compiled by Zithia, took several factors into account, including air quality, the percentage of land dedicated to landfills within a state, and the spread of illness like the flu. After compiling data from sources like the EPA and CDC, the site looked at arbitrary cultural factors like food preferences and clothing preferences. And in case you're wondering, Virginia was named the grossest state, while Alaska was the least gross. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Now you know. Thank you, Jeremy. That's the world we live in this Monday, as always. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.